welcome along to the Rugby Pass podcast. We're getting close to Christmas, but we're not quite there yet today. However, we're very honoured to be joined by the one and only Ricky Flutie, former Lions tourist in 2009, man who plied his trade in both New Zealand and the UK, of course. And what a week it has been for the Lions. Warren Gatland finally announcing his coaching staff. And I don't know, Rick, I just feel somewhat that it is underwhelming considering the coaching talent in the North, but you might have a different point of view.
Well, to be honest with you, I actually haven't really had a look at the coaching setup with the Lions, but you know, with Gats there, I'm sure you know, he's a pretty strong leader, and he can you know, use the coaches around him to get the job done. You know, and I'm sure that's what he's doing. And he's got, you know, Borthwick there in amongst that, who was one of my captains when I was playing for England. And apparently, you know, what I've heard, you know, through his time at Saracens and also in England, he's been doing a fantastic job. So I'm sure he'll be able to offer something for those guys, you know, coming over here.
Well, it's no surprise that he's gone with Rob Howley, who's been his able deputy with Wales for so long. So I think we guess that was always going to be the case. And Borthwick, as you mentioned, Farrell there as well. But, I mean, I guess what I want to gain from you today is an idea about how that system works with the Lions. I mean, it's such a unique tour. It's such a unique team. Warren Gatland, the head coach, yes. But considering the number of personnel on tour, the size of the management team, you've got to have able deputies doing specific things. Was that the way you found the coaching setup when you toured?
I think it was. I mean, I can only talk on my experiences in 09, and you know, probably the best thing that they could have ever done before we went over to South Africa was they called off. We had a dinner out. Maybe 2-3 nights before we were heading out, and the next following day we're supposed to have a yachting team bonding type day. So on our way back from that dinner back to the hotel at about, oh, it must have been about 10-11 o'clock or something, they made a call that everyone had to, they were going to cancel the yachting, and they were going to everyone had to meet in the bar. So what happened was we all went, changed, and went back to the bar, and so, I don't know, 11 o'clock at night, and we basically sat there and drank until 6 in the morning, and that was probably the best thing they did, because straight from that bonding, from those, you know, those drinks, and we got to know each other on a different level, you know, everyone came together, gelled together, you know, amazingly well, and it was quite interesting that the dynamics, you know, being a being a Kiwi boy, you know, watching, you know, the Welsh, the English and the Irish, you know, and the couple of Scottish boys that were there, you know, how they worked, and, you know, having a few drinks, you know, I know the Welsh love the alcohol, eh? So the Welsh and the Irish, you know, so they weren't, you know, the Welsh weren't going to bed first. The Irish were tucking into their beer, so they were, you know, they were going hard. And it actually worked really well, because by the time we got over to South Africa, even though we lost the series, but you know, we were together as one, you know, going over there, and it was just an awesome trip.
Well, how did you feel? Because given the legacy of the Lions, you go back to 1888, I think it was, or 1902, whatever the first tour was to New Zealand, and being a Kiwi boy who represented England, and a boy from Piranora as well, up in the Wairarapa here, I see your Lions jersey still on the Piranora Hall as well. They spelt your name three different ways on that jersey as well. Three different ways for Ricky Flutie. But I wonder, though, how you felt about the tour. Did the magnitude of what you were about to embark on hit home with you early, or was it during that bonding session, those times where you got to look around and finally realise what was at stake?
Yeah, I mean, going back a year before I even got that opportunity, you know, I hadn't even played a game for England yet, but I knew I may have had a sniff in getting that opportunity to play for England. And I sat down and wrote a whole heap of goals out, and one of those goals was actually, okay, I want to, you know, I may have an opportunity with England, but I want to go on the 09 Lions tour, you know. And I set these goals and put out plans in terms of, you know, paying for my own nutritionist, paying for my own sprint coach, because these are all the things that I needed to work on. So I invested in myself and just went hard to get to that point. And 09 came around and I got that opportunity, and it was just amazing. I'd put in all that hard work, and you know, I showed people, hey, okay, yeah, I'm that outsider, you know, from New Zealand, but you know, I'm gonna train my ass off, work hard, and be as professional as I could be, and be better than that other fella, you know, that I was going up against. And I got that opportunity, and it was awesome. And the it was probably that moment, having a few drinks and sitting down and looking at all of these, you know, sitting down with O'Driscoll and Simon Shaw and all of these legends, you know, of the game. And having that opportunity to rub shoulders with them and learn off them, just like I did when I was playing for the Hurricanes with Jonah, Cully and Tanner and everyone else. It was an amazing experience. And there, I thought, well, no, this job ain't done. I need to, if I get my opportunity, my next goal is to get on that field, you know. I want to be starting, you know. So I had to do whatever I did to get on the field. And I actually nearly got sent home, you know, just through injury. So in one of the midweek games, I hurt my knee, and it blew up, something chronic, and I was actually going to go out that night, and I sort of walked out with my gears on, going out to have a few drinks, and I was, oh, nah, better ice my knee, because it's not right. So I did that, did my icing protocol, stayed up, you know, I woke up every 2 hours and iced it for 20 minutes or whatever it was. And then the next morning, it was still, you know, massive and fat. And I actually convinced our doctor to just drain the fluid out, because structurally, I said, structurally, it's all right. Mate, it's just all that fluid in there that's giving me grief, you know. Let's get rid of it, because I knew that they were talking in the backgrounds with the coaches to, oh, well, he's no good to us, we'll send him home, you know. So I said, no, you talk to the surgeon back in England. Yeah. You talk to him and see if it's all right, just to take that fluid out, and I'll just crack on, see how we go. Sure enough, they went through that process, did that, and took the fluid out. 3 days later, I was playing again, and I did all right. And then the third test, I started in the third test, you know, because Jamie Roberts got knocked out or something like that. Yeah,
as usual.
Yeah.
Those tours, and I know that everyone's excited about this New Zealand tour, and we saw what the Lions did for New Zealand rugby in 2005, and how wonderful that series was, and of course all the midweek games. And, you know, I still remember that game against New Zealand Māori in Hamilton, which I think was the best game of the tour. It was just an incredible atmosphere, an incredible match. So close, and the celebrations afterward were wonderful as well. But was there a defining moment on the Lions tour in 2009 for you where you realised just how big a deal this was?
Yeah, well, going over there and, you know, walking out of the hotel or going down to the foyer, and there's, you know, and knowing that we've got 35,000 tourists come, you know, made the effort to come over and support us, and they're everywhere. They're in every bar we're at, and we weren't hiding anything. You know, when it was time to switch off, just like when I was in the Maldives team, switch on, switch off was a massive thing. You know, when it was time to switch off, we'd switch off and do whatever we wanted and enjoy life, you know, and the company and the people around us and the supporters. So we didn't go and hide and go to another bar. We enjoyed the company of all our supporters and had a few beers with them, you know, and thanked them for coming over. And I suppose that was that moment when you know, whoa, all these people are coming over to watch us, you know. And then you sort of like, shit, I better perform, I better do my thing, you know, which is another sort of you know, gives you that extra spark and energy.
Well, but as a Kiwi, and you would know this, because when you play in New Zealand, and the All Blacks I think experience this as well, 95% of every home game are New Zealand fans. And but because you've had that time in Europe and also playing for England, you understand an atmosphere when 40-45% of the fans are travelling fans. And with the Lions series, it's probably the only international series in the Southern Hemisphere ever where you know that at least a third of the ground is going to be Lions fans, and they're going to be loud and they're going to be passionate. What is the atmosphere like for a player to play in front of Lions fans?
Oh, it's just unreal, you know. I remember going out in the third test against England, South Africa, and you know, mate, just looking around, there were so many red jerseys all around, and there was this, I remember vaguely, there was this massive they knitted or sewed this big big rugby jersey. It was huge, you know, that filled up a big part of the stadium, you know, and that was getting passed around. And, you know, you as a player, you know, you take that stuff in before you play because that's what gives you the energy. You go, well, mate, these fellas are coming to watch me, you know, and I'm gonna show them what I've got, you know, and that's part of the motivation.
We've seen at times that the Lions can be a fractious affair because of the different personalities, the different nations involved. But even when there were factions for Warren Gatlin in the last tour in that series victory over Australia, and you think about the big calls he had to make. I mean, leaving O'Driscoll out of a deciding test match, which was massive and so widely reported on at the time. What is he up to? They won the game. They won the series. But I would suggest that all is not forgiven, especially from a player point of view, because there is no team, I don't think, more competitive than the Lions about getting that chance, getting that start. Did you feel that competition, even though you've mentioned that there was a great camaraderie, that you got on together, but, you know, come side naming time, did you feel everything start to ratchet up from a tension point of view?
Probably, I said very similar to the New Zealand structure. You know, when I come through age grades or New Zealand Māoris, you know, there were a lot of similarities to that tour and a tour, you know, and being with the New Zealand Māoris team, you know, because of that camaraderie, you know, within the squad. And the thing is that, you know, when it's time to switch off, like I said, hey, we enjoy each other's company. When it's time to switch on and game on and train on and play, whether it's against each other or train against each other, we go hard because that's how you earn that respect from your teammates, you know, and show them, oh, I want that spot as much as you, you know, and you show that to them and with your actions on the training field and on the field, you know. So, and then, hey, like I said, enjoy a beer or whatever afterwards.
Who was the guy for you, being that outsider and having that English allegiance? Was it the English guys that you naturally gravitated to on the tour, or did you make a bunch of new friends, guys you might not have expected to have struck up a relationship with during your career up north?
Yeah, I mean, hey, being a Māori boy, you know, I and the person I am, I like introducing myself and getting to know everyone and anyone, you know, and that's just me. And that's what I did going into that tour. You know, I wanted to make sure I knew everyone and they knew who I was because, yeah, you know, there was probably a little bit in the back of all their minds that, oh, who's this Kiwi fella, you know, coming into our team, coming into this team. That's not how it should be. So, but, hey, I was myself and probably I actually, even in the England team, you know, I acted more hoarier than I could have actually been, you know, only to see if they would accept me for the way I am. You know, I ain't coming in to be, you know, oh, hello, how do you do? You know, mate, this is me, bro. If you don't accept me for the way I am, well, then all good, you know. And that's how I roll with that. But, you know, initially I probably did gravitate to my comfort zone and Simon Shaw was very tight, close mate of mine at London Wasps in England, and he was on that tour as well, and, you know, he was a koroko mātu of the team, and I hung with him. But then, you know, I got on really well with the Welsh and the Irish guys, you know, very similar mindsets to us Kiwis, you know, in terms of how passionate they are with rugby and life and everything else. And I made some really, really tight, strong friends. Mm.
You're going to get a chance to see them again in 2017, a lot of them at least. I know a lot of those legends will be out on New Zealand shores supporting the Lions. You're a Māori boy from the Wairarapa, and you've played for New Zealand Māori. They have that game in Rotorua coming up as well against the Lions. So is it a tough choice for you? Because I know you're as Kiwi as they come, but you've also represented England. You've represented the Lions. Have you looked ahead to this tour and thought, Ricky, I don't know how I'm going to feel when the team runs out for those games, for those test matches. I don't know how I should feel, having been a member of such a prestigious team, but also a bona fide Kiwi boy.
You know, when I was over there even representing England, you know, I got this from the media every week, you know, trying to suss me out in terms of where's my allegiance, you know, is it before we play the All Blacks And, you know, hey, I wasn't hiding anything. You know, I'd tell them, mate, well, yeah, I'm a Kiwi. I'm from New Zealand and I love my country and this is me. And I've got this opportunity because, you know, I got offered this opportunity and my drive was, hey, I want to play at the highest level and play against the best players in the world. And if England or the British Irish Lions are going to give me that opportunity, I'm going to take it, you know. And looking, even now, you know, watching England play, you know, I've been absolutely loving their results, you know, that they've been doing. I've got a lot of mates still in that team, and also, you know, coaching the team. And I don't know, probably looking forward to the Lions.
There's a lot of free lunches, Rick.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm hoping. I'm waiting for those emails, cuz. Waiting for those emails to come through. Hey, but I'm sure I've got pictures all over my house with you know, with me and my Lions jersey, you know, but hey, I've got friends in that team, and I don't know how I feel. I'll just probably, like I do with when England played New Zealand, the All Blacks, I just sit there and watch it and enjoy the game, mm-hmm. and cheer on some of the mates of mine that I used to play alongside. Mm-hmm. I cheer along them, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, right, it is a hard one. It'll probably be a hard one. Yeah.
They'll probably give you a Land Rover to drive around in for the whole series, and that'll make the decision easy.
You got it. Hey, hey. Yeah.
Well, we look forward to it, mate. And I look back at your time. Well, I was very fortunate. I was over there in 2009, bumped into you at Sandton, yeah, at the hotel during that, yeah, tour. I was over there to watch the Chiefs get destroyed by the Bulls, yeah, in the Super Rugby final. And I must admit, it was one of those great moments as a Kiwi boy. I just started out in my broadcasting career, and I don't know, immediately you relax around someone like you. I just saw someone in their element, being part of a team, being so familiar to a Kiwi, but a part of this great Lions side, obviously battling their way through what was a tough tour. Mm. But you never looked out of place, mate, and I know you treasure those memories, and so you should.
Yeah, hey, I do treasure those memories, you know, because, you know, when you finish up from, you know, in your playing days, you do look back and remember all the awesome times. There were so many great memories that I do cherish. And it's bloody good, mate.
It is bloody good. It's a great way to finish. Rugby Pass podcast for another week as we head towards the Christmas break. Ricky Flutie, former England international and British and Irish Lion, and a dyed-in-the-wool, whited-upper boy. Thanks for joining us today, brother.
Yeah, kia ora. Thanks for that.